Welcome to the Body Nerd Show. I'm your host, Alexandra Ellis, and after a decade in the fitness industry, I've finally cracked the code on how you can build sustainable strength without getting hurt. I'm a coach, writer, yogi, kettlebell devotee, lover of lifting heavy things, and 100% a body nerd. So stick with me, and I'll teach you how to make body maintenance and movement mastery a fundamental part of your wellness routine. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back. You're listening to episode 234 of the Body Nerd Show. And on today's show, I'm joined by Dr. Sarah Court, and we're talking about the difference between osteoporosis and osteopenia, how to improve bone density, and how to get started with strength training, and why you absolutely want to, especially if building stronger bones is one of your goals. Now, I feel like you can't turn on a television, you cannot scroll on the internet without seeing some ads for pharmaceuticals to help build bone density. And today's episode truly came from a conversation I had with a family member who had gone to the doctor, had done a DEXA scan, which we're going to talk about in today's episode, and then was told that they had osteoporosis and needed to start a pharmaceutical. And so I reached out to Sarah. As you'll find out about Sarah, she has a lot of great resources and a huge depth of knowledge about bone density specifically and how strength training can help. And she was more than happy to do today's episode, which I was super excited about, because when you get a diagnosis of osteoporosis, there could be this feeling of like fragility. Maybe you feel like delicate, like you're truly like a little old lady now or whatever that might be. But also, I want you and encourage you to think of all the stuff that you're already doing and all the ways that you are moving. And even if you're like, well, I'm not moving enough, you are moving and you haven't just, you know, collapsed into a pile of dust. So you are strong and you are capable, and you are capable of so much more than I'm sure you even believe to be possible. But I promise you that you are. And that's not to say that change shouldn't happen, that we shouldn't possibly make behavioral changes or lifestyle changes or, you know, exercise changes to improve how we're working out if we have been given a diagnosis of osteoporosis or osteopenia. But I wanted to offer an alternative to just going down the route of pharmaceuticals, because there are side effects and they aren't always pleasant. So I'm really excited again to be joined today by our favorite body nerd, Dr. Sarah Court. She is a doctor of physical therapy, a movement mentor, a yoga teacher, trainer. She founded the Quantum Leap Community, which is an online membership group for movement teachers to help equip them with the tools to effectively work with diverse clients while staying within their professional boundaries. She has a focus on integrating yoga, strength, and neuromuscular exercise, and she leads workshops and trainings worldwide. I truly wish her clinic was way closer, because I would be there probably every week. Like, Sarah, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? But I'm also really grateful that we get to go on lots and lots of hikes through the mountains of Southern California together. So enjoy this conversation with Dr. Sarah Court about building stronger bones, osteoporosis, and osteopenia. Welcome back to the Body Nerd Show, Dr. Sarah Court, one of our favorite body nerds and a hiking partner extraordinaire. I'm so happy to have you here today to share your brilliance and wisdom. And we are going to get down to the nitty gritty about bone density, which I'm really excited about. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this topic. It's something I've been doing a lot of learning and research and studying and work around in the past few years. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So let's also start too with like where most people end up in this conversation would be probably with a diagnosis of like osteoporosis or osteopenia from their doctors. Like, what does that mean? And what are the differences between the two of those?
Yeah. So the diagnosis of osteoporosis, it literally means something like brittle bone or bone with holes in it or something like that. During your life, your body is breaking down bone and building up bone all the time. It's a constant cycle that's happening. And in your earlier part of your life, you're building more bone than breaking down. In the middle part of your life, it stays about the same. And then typically around 60 or so, the breaking down of the bone starts to outpace the building of the bone. And so potentially your bones can become weaker. And this is also now around the time that people start to get nervous about things like falling. They might not be as strong as they used to be, you know, if they haven't been training or continuing to work out. And so the diagnosis of osteoporosis comes from a medical doctor, and it comes from something they do called a DEXA scan, which stands for dual energy oh boy, X-ray absorptometry, something like that. I usually add too many R's in.
It's something like that. I just Googled it. That is correct.
Oh, good. Yay. And essentially they take the data from a few locations. They scan your bones and they take the data from your hip, your femur. I think your wrist is also one of the locations. And then they compare it to what they consider like normal. Mm-hmm. And then however far away from normal you are, if you are, will give you the diagnosis of osteoporosis, or if it's not quite as severe, what's called osteopenia, which is sort of the precursor to possible precursor, or possibly nothing to worry about, as it turns out.
Well, also to this whole concept of like, this is normal. And if you mm-hmm. deviate from this, then you are not normal. Like, I've never been normal.
So right, exactly.
Who's
exactly.
to say about that?
Exactly. And the thing with bone density generally is it's sort of something that's a concern for doctors in so much as what they're ultimately concerned about is their patients falling, their older patients falling and sustaining like a hip fracture or something right. like that, right? Which happens to people and going into the hospital for it. And there's a really terrible statistic, which is 1 in 5 people who go into the hospital for like a hip fracture never come out of the hospital. Like they die oh, wow. in the hospital because most likely they were already somewhat frail. They were already deconditioned. They may have had osteoporosis. They may have other co-conditions alongside of it. They're older. And, you know, being in bed, like the amount of strength and muscle mass and like all of those things that they measure goes down so fast if you're on bed rest, like a matter of days. Mm-hmm. So that is a scary statistic. And a lot of people know about that scary statistic. And so if they get a diagnosis of osteoporosis, it's like, oh my God, well, I have to immediately do whatever my doctor says, like go on this medication, which is usually what they say. But it's sort of starting to seem, well, a few things are starting to become more apparent. And I don't know if you want me to just talk about those or if you had questions.
Yeah. I mean, because I got questions about DEXA scans too, because like I've had one for my own health to look at like lean tissue mass. And I know that bone density was on there, but it wasn't something I was exactly like concerned about. Mm-hmm. So how is a DEXA scan not helpful? I guess that's like one question. But then also this other question I have like kind of floating around is if this is like, wouldn't it be a systemic issue? Like, wouldn't you expect to see if you have this like systemic bone porosity issue, wouldn't it be in all of your bones and not just at those specific locations that they're looking at?
Yes. Let me answer your second question first, because it's the much easier question to answer. The reason why they look at the hip and the femur and the wrist is that those are the areas that are most often fractured in falls. Mm. So it's less got to do with, do you also have it in your foot or in your elbow or wherever? And then more to do with, these are places that we see people, you know, you fall, you put your hand down, you break a wrist, you fall, you land on your hip or your leg, you break your leg. Mm-hmm. So that's why mm-hmm. they look at those spots. And also they look at your spine, which seems pretty obvious to me as well. The question of whether or not a DEXA scan is useful. So there's a great NPR article that's online that I will give you the link to. And there's a really good website that sort of really breaks down all of the information about DEXA scans and how they came to be. Mm-hmm. And essentially, a couple of things. One is that in the sort of discovery of osteoporosis as a concern, correlating with falls, basically a bunch of doctors got in a room and decided like, at what bone density level are we going to call it osteoporosis? And they kind of, I mean, the way it's described in this article is like, everybody's getting kind of tired and hot. And so they just sort of drew a line and they were like, this is the line. We're concerned after this line. And then osteopenia, it wasn't really that they were looking for a secondary way to diagnose it. It was more just supposed to be for like internal use. Like, oh, hey, this person has some bone density loss. Let's keep an eye on them. Not, oh, I'm now going to tell them they have osteopenia, which is some new condition, right?
Right.
So that's part of it. What happened after that is, I believe it's Merck, and I should double check that before I trash talk an entire, yes, it is Merck, before I trash talk a drug company and they come after me.
Disclaimer, these are our opinions only.
yes. Well, so Merck developed this drug for bone density improvement. And it's called, the original one was called Fosamax or Fosamax. And there's been a variety of copycats and, you know, newer versions since then. But what happened was nobody was buying it. So they were like, okay, well, we've got this drug. The drug works. We've seen it work in studies, but nobody knows about it. They don't think that bone density is a problem because nobody's really brought up the idea that bone density could be a problem for someone. So Merck was basically like, well, we need to figure out a way to make people, from their perspective, understand it's a problem, or possibly you could say, believe it's a problem when maybe it's not the main issue as far as falls are concerned. Mm-hmm. So they hired someone to basically sort of come up with this. I'm not sure if the person came up with the machine itself or got involved with other researchers or scientists. But anyway, there was already a version of a DEXA machine, but it was like super expensive and nobody had one. So nobody was doing the scans. So they came up with a more commercially affordable version of the DEXA scan that any you know, place could have. And then that way people are getting sent to have a DEXA scan and they're all getting these diagnoses of osteoporosis. And now they're all getting put on this medication for their bone density.
I was going to say, I realized where people are like, what on earth is a DEXA scan? To your point, exactly. When I've done it, you lay down on this table and like a scanner, this bar kind of thing goes over you and you can't move and you can breathe and you just hang out there. It takes like 5 minutes. I go to my chiropractor's office and there's a van out in the parking lot that has a DEXA machine inside of it. So it is very, very accessible and user friendly. Like,
there's a van in the parking
lot. There's a van. So here in, I think they're actually nationwide. So like as a side note to this discussion, like I found getting DEXA scans as I was tweaking, you know, nutrition changes and tweaking exercise really fascinating to look at the change in not my bones, but like soft tissue and like lean muscle mass and all of that.
Right.
So to have it be super accessible, I'll link that company. I can't think of it offhand, but I'll link them. That was super helpful. But then also here, how interesting. Oh, we have to let people know there is a problem.
Right.
So let's make a test that can find it so easily.
Really here easily. You go. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we've decided where the line is. The line is here. Oh, you're below that line. Oh, you need our drug. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not, I mean, the thing is like the drug has a few problems, one of which is for some people, it actually causes their bones to become more brittle. So it's not helpful for some people.
Right.
It's not really designed for like long-term use. So people who are getting put on it for osteopenia or something similar to it, you know, or they got a diagnosis of osteoporosis and maybe they just turned 65 or something. It's like, well, if you're taking this for the next 10 years, now that you're 75 and possibly, you know, still healthy and everything's fine, it can sort of start to, and I need to study more about it to be able to speak to this, but my understanding is that it's just not designed to be on long term, and that it can start to have, you know, it can start to actually take your bone density away, which is sort of a weird development.
I mean, there's so many pharmaceuticals too, where they're like, yeah, you could take this forever. And then they haven't really done any human studies of like, what is 10 years, 20 years, 30
exactly.
years?
Exactly. Yeah. All these people going on Ozempic. I'm like, well, all right, we'll see you in 10 years and see what that did, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just saying that because here in California, as you know, it's like all the Hollywood people are taking it when it's like...
Yes, it is. Yeah. There will be an episode of that because I feel like you cannot be in the body world and not talking about it right now, unfortunately. Yeah. But yes, sorry to derail.
But the thing with bone density, okay, so here's my other side of this. Yes, you want strong bones. You absolutely do. And since we know that somewhere in the sort of third stage of life, your bone density will start to go down, if you're like, okay, well, that's still happening, I don't necessarily want to go on this medication for it that has these possible side effects, but there's much easier ways to keep your bones dense. And it's not free, but close to it. And that is lifting heavy weights. So strength training, not just like 3 sets of 10 kind of strength training, but really specifically extremely heavy lifting, like 85% of your capacity, which sounds crazy to people.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can work up to that. That's not hard to work up to. You're not on day one going out there and being like, all right, let me just lift this insanely heavy thing. Like
200 pounds, here we go.
You know, like any new exercise and new activity you take on, you ramp up to it. Like you make your way up to it, right? When I started weightlifting about a year ago, I wasn't lifting that much to begin with, but now it's part of my workouts. And so very heavy lifting. And then also impact training, which is, you know, people think of plyometrics, like jump training is sort of it's like a subset of that, because impact training is like, it's jumping and landing not nicely, for want of a better word. You're actually trying to land, you know, kind of quote unquote ugly so that your bones get rattled a little bit. But that also, as and more recent research is showing, impact training to have even more of a positive effect on your bone density. So for someone who is like, well, I don't jump much, let alone like jump and land hard, that sounds like it's going to hurt. You can start with heel drops, which is just like rising up on your toes and then just letting your heels bang down. Like that's very tolerable to most people, or seated heel drops.
Yeah.
And work your way up from there. I mean, so that's another, you know, really well-researched, well-proven way to improve your bone density. So there's ways to work on it that don't involve taking medication. And then the bigger picture, like, why do I even care about my bone density, you know, has to do with this potential falls risk, right? And the idea that, like, let's say I trip and fall, I don't want to break anything, right? Because ultimately, whether I'm the 1 in 5 people who don't come out of the hospital, it's just a real pain in the ass as you get older. Yeah. And when you get older, everything takes longer to heal. Like, you just, you don't really want to be breaking bones. And a lot of what people end up doing for fear of breaking something is they don't take any physical risks. Like they'll only walk along completely smooth pavement, or they don't practice things like losing their balance, tripping and falling, things like that. And ultimately it sort of becomes this like self-fulfilling prophecy where you're not as strong, your bones are not as resilient, you're scared about all of that. So you do fewer movements, you don't go for long walks, you don't challenge your body, and, you know, and so on and so on. So a lot of it is also about working on things like your strength, like not just strength training for your bones, but just being strong. Like one of the best things you can do for your body as a woman is be as strong as you possibly can, regardless of your age. Right.
Yeah.
And again, that's a sliding scale, right? That's not, you know, for someone who's deconditioned, that might be some resistance bands, but you don't stop at the resistance bands. You keep going and you get to the dumbbells and then you get to the kettlebells and then maybe you get to the barbells. Right. But a lot of people stop somewhere around the like red TheraBand and the 5-pound dumbbell and they never go any farther. And that's also not helping you. So you start where you are, but you have to keep going.
I think that is such an important piece of it as well, because there are so many people, especially who I speak to, who are like, oh no, I'm doing the same, you know, exercises I got in PT 10 years ago because they seem to be working, and just like sticking with them. Yeah. But that progression of adding more. And one thing that's coming to mind too is for people who are like, well, you know, I can't really lift heavy things. I just think of like going to Costco and like buying literally anything, you know, or Sam's Club or whatever. And it's humongous and it weighs 20 pounds and you're lifting it off the cart and putting it into your car anyways, even if it's just for a millisecond. So it's like, you already are doing heavy lifting. So might as well practice it in good form and good positions so that you can do it safely and continue to do it without worrying about getting hurt.
Totally. And also so that when you go pick that thing out of your cart, and put it in your car, it's going to start to feel light.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's something as well. But yeah, I see that all the time. Like I'll see people come into the clinic and they've got some heavy, you know, bag over their shoulder, whatever, and they stride on in, they put it down. They're like, oh yeah, I'm having a lot of problems with my shoulder. I'm like, well, you just walked in here with all that stuff. And that didn't seem to,
30 pound bag seemed to be
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, definitely like the daily things and like the little things you do each day add up a lot more in both for the positive and the negative than I think non-body nerds realize. I mean, actually, this is like totally TMI, but we're going there. I mean, speaking of daily stuff, you know, I was working with you for my back and there was an issue with not being able to rotate my pelvis. And then I realized that like, every time I went to the bathroom, I was literally only leaning to one side. So I was like, hey, why don't we just add in another lean to the other side to like balance it out? And by golly gosh, it's much better with my pelvis rotation now.
That's hilarious.
But it's like that. It's like the daily things that you don't even think about, but like
absolutely
making them more nerdy to your benefit.
Absolutely. I have a hip replacement from over 10 years ago at this point, and still I have to, if I'm down on the ground and I'm going to go to stand up, it's such a reflex to use my stronger leg to stand up on. And I literally have to be like, nope. And like, go back down and do it, get up again. And it's like, just get up. What is taking you so long? But I'm still having to, you know, kind of force my body to use it. That's always a good habit to get into. Like, look at the ways that you're doing the things and change it up a little bit.
For sure. The number one question I get within the comments and my DMs and my emails is, I have this issue, what should I do for it? And I get when you've tried icing and you've tried stretching and they're not really working, you probably are looking for a simple program that you can do on your own that actually works. And that's exactly why I put together the Mobility Mastery Toolkit. The toolkit includes 30 days of exercises so you know exactly what to do to improve the mobility of your hips, your lower back, your feet, your neck, and your shoulders. Plus, it comes with video demos for every single exercise and a full body mobility workout calendar so you can check it off. And again, you don't have to think about what to do. You just get it done. And with all of those resources, you're just 15 minutes a day from feeling stronger and more flexible. As a Body Nerd Show listener, you can save 50% off when you use the code MASTERY at mobilitytoolkit.co. That's right. Use the code MASTERY, M-A-S-T-E-R-Y, at mobilitytoolkit.co. And then keep me posted how it goes. Now, what about impact training? You said that that's really helpful, even starting with something like heel drops. But what about like rebounders or like trampolines? Because I know those are really popular as well. I have an idea of what your answer might be, but can you speak to that as far as bone density?
Yeah, it's a really fast answer. It's not going to help you because there is no actual impact. It's the impact part that It makes a difference because, like, let's just say you're walking down the street. Every time you take a step, the forces that you put into that step, there's something called ground reaction force, where that same force comes up through your leg and is dispersed throughout your body. And with something like a trampoline or a rebounder, or even if you go to Pilates and you are lying down on the reformer and you use the jump board, which is completely no gravity at all, right? Just springs. There is not enough impact. The possibility of that impact is absorbed by the trampoline or the rebounder. So you're not getting any of that kind of impact force. It's super fun and it's great cardio. So our friend Trina Altman, I used to take some like trampoline classes with her. And I was like, I've never like jumped this hard in my life. Just like you feel like a jackrabbit. Your legs are just like jumping. But it's not, you're not like, oh my God, my feet hurt because this surface was so hard. Like it's just, it's right. Super, super bouncy. Same with like, you know, a little bit dancers, when you see them like jump and land, they're getting a little bit because they have to be absorbing some of it, but they're also landing a lot of the time very gracefully. Like, you know, the way you're taught to land as a dancer, where you go like toe ball heel, you're not just like landing with a flat foot. There's an exercise called pogos that I still find very hard to do, where essentially you're jumping, but keeping your feet in dorsiflexion. So keeping your ankles flexed, your toes up the whole time. Mm-hmm. So there's no like rolling through your foot, like at all. And
you just like land on your heels.
You're landing on like flat feet.
Oh, on flat feet. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about like impact. You know? It's like, I'm not a super fan, but they're great for impact training. If that kind of jumping is appropriate for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm thinking too of, you know, many of my clients and also people within the body nerd community who are dealing with injuries or pain when they get to this point. So I really like something like heel drops that is super, you know, meet you where you are at.
Yeah.
Also strength training, we've talked about that. Just like, again, start with the basic movements like deadlifts or squats. Would you add anything else to that as far as like where to start for strength training?
Yeah. I mean, the classic trio is deadlift, squat, bench press. Because you want some upper body as well. And we're looking for improving, you know, because again, if you're going to fall, most what people usually do is they stick a hand out. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as you trip, you stick your arm out to like catch yourself, right? Because you don't want to land on your head. You
don't want to smash your face.
Right. Well, from your body's perspective, you don't want to do anything to your brain, heart, lungs, right? So right. Hand, no problem, right? So yeah, to get some upper body work as well. Those are sort of the three main lifts, but there's so many more, but for your lower body, deadlift and squat, and deadlift in particular, like deadlifts have gotten a really bad rap for absolutely no reason, because a monkey can do a deadlift. It is not a complicated move. Squats with a bar, or even just holding onto some weights, a squat is way more complicated for your body to manage because there's all kinds of places you could end up.
Yeah.
But a deadlift, you're a hinge. Like you make a few small adjustments to the height of your hips and the height of your chest and you're in business. Like it's my absolute favorite go-to weightlifting exercise. It just, everybody's included. It's yeah. really great.
Yeah. And I'll link in the description as well, like a how-to hip hinge starting place for anyone who's like, what is that? And what does that mean? But yeah, I mean, I feel like we've touched upon too, so many places to start. And I wonder as well, like, is it ever too late to do some of these interventions like heel drops or weightlifting or anything like that?
No, it's never too late. It's literally never too late. And it's one of my favorite things when I work with my older patients in the clinic, especially with women over, you know, late 70s, you know, sort of in their upper years, who partly sort of societally from when they were growing up, were never encouraged to lift anything heavy because, you know, they didn't want to get too, you know, quote unquote bulky, or it was too masculine, or, you know, it wasn't what ladies did, things like that. And, you know, I don't start them with the barbell on day one, but I start them with some dumbbells. And I'm very clear with them that this is going to be increasing, that this is not where we're stopping. And quite often, like, I'll be like, okay, here's some 5-pound dumbbells. And the number of times I get faces from people like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you probably have carried bags of groceries much heavier than this without mm-hmm. even realizing it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then very often they're incredibly surprised. They're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I'm like, yeah, great. Go away. Do that for a bit. Come back. And then we're going to increase it next time, you know, or whenever is appropriate. And eventually I get them. We have what's called a technique bar, which is a great introduction. If you're interested in barbells, but you're like, the gym is scary and intimidating. It's full of bros. And also, like, I don't have space for a ton of equipment in my home. There's something called a technique bar, which mm-hmm. is somewhere, it depends who makes it, but it's like a 15 or a 20 pound barbell, mm-hmm. which is very, very easy to then learn all of the movements on. You know, if it gets too light, then you can like add some plates to it and stuff. But it's a nice place if somebody wants, is like, I'm interested in barbells, but I'm totally intimidated or scared, or this is like, seems like a lot. We have a technique bar at the clinic. It's how I introduce most of my patients to barbell work and take the fear component out of it, because they're actually, in my opinion, quite a bit easier to use than dumbbells or kettlebells.
Oh, I have to look up what a technique bar actually is. I mean, one of the things too of working out at home is you just have to be so much more creative with how you do your lifts, because like I don't have more than a 35 pound dumbbell. Mm. Like that's it. So doing things like, oh, let me do a kickstand. So I'm doing it more on one leg than the other, or elevating one leg or the other, to just continue making it be challenging with the equipment that I have. But for those of you, again, working out at home or working out on your own, start with what you have. And then when it gets easier, make it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And always at some point, you might need to add on some extra equipment. But good news is Facebook Marketplace has a lot of people unloading their weights that they're not using that you can buy at a discount.
Yep.
Which is where I get a lot of my stuff. So it's just, yeah, keep progressing, but you can be super creative with how you're using the equipment that you have. And then don't you also have a bone density course for people to learn how to lift weight specifically for bone density?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. So with my friend Laurel Beaversdorf, she and I run, our company is called Movement Logic Tutorials. And we have a 6-month online barbell lifting course for people who know nothing about barbells or maybe used to and then have gotten away from it. And we have 90 women. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
And from all over the world. And Laurel and I both teach live classes a few times a month. And then people have the recordings to do it again. And we've got charts for them. And so they're actually tracking their workouts, tracking how much they're lifting, tracking like when they can progress and lift heavier weights. And it's just fantastic. It's going really, really well. We're right in the middle of our first cohort this time. But we are going to be doing it again in the fall of, I was about to say next year, but it's this year because this is January. We don't know exactly the dates, but you can get that information on our website. Yeah, it's really fun. And one of the most fun things about it, well, sort of two things. One is to see so many women get over this sort of intimidation around the barbell and realize it's just mm-hmm. another piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it's actually ends up, especially if you're buying your own, ends up being a lot cheaper, because once you buy the bar, then you're just buying plates. Mm-hmm. And a few plates will keep you busy for a very long time. I bought my setup like 15 months ago, and I have not yet had to add to it. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's cheaper than like, well, now I need a 50-pound kettlebell, and now mm-hmm. I need a 60-pound, you know.
You bring up a good point. I keep saying I don't have room, and now I'm like, maybe I do.
I think maybe you do. I think maybe you have room and you just need to get rid of some of those kettlebells.
Yeah, there's only a few.
The other thing that's been nice is we started a, we have a Facebook group, just a private Facebook group for everyone in the cohort, in the program. And just seeing all these different women, like, supporting each other and, you know, talking to, like, we've made our own gym in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all these people get to kind of interact with each other and talk about their challenges and tell each other how they overcame this thing or that thing. Or we have different women saying, oh, I'll be your accountability buddy if you need someone to help you, you know, stay on track. And it's just been great. So it's going really well. It's very exciting.
Oh, that is so awesome. Because I know for me too, I'm trying to think of what got me into, I was teaching a mobility course at a CrossFit gym. So I already like knew some of the people and it was in my like mid 20s. So it was like, everybody was the same age. Like it wasn't as intimidating as walking to a space where, you know, everyone's a lot younger and they already know what they're doing and like all of that. And it was such a gift to learn how to lift weights. Because like we've already talked about, if you can squat and you can hip hinge and you can overhead reach or do a bench press, like you can do anything in good form and set yourself up so that you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So I also, I mean, I do virtual training as well. I don't think you need to be in the presence of a personal trainer to tell you, oh, you're doing it right or wrong, because learning how to feel it in your body for yourself is a skill that will last you a lifetime. And once you, again, learn how to do these things, adding another 10 pounds, whatever. It's like, you already know how to do it and you can do it well. It's no different. It's just more or less challenging depending on what you want.
Definitely. And so many of the women have been talking about just like how they feel so much stronger in their bodies. And we're, you know, we're tracking their parameters and it's not like they're lifting suddenly like five times as much as they were a month ago, but there is something about really working on lifting weights and committing to it and kind of, and progressing, even the, even if the actual number progressions are on the smaller side. You feel less vulnerable as a woman.
Yes.
You feel less, you know, like you're going to get taken advantage of. You feel more confident. You feel like you can say no. Like it is amazing. No, truly, it is amazing how lifting heavy stuff can really give you some, just that resilience in all ways in your life, in all the different ways. So obviously, I'm a very big fan.
But no, it's so true. I remember like the first, again, the first like weighted workout, maybe I did like a deadlift or something. And I think there might've been a pull up in there. It was assisted, you know, with like the heaviest band. It's not like, I still can't do a pull up. I've been trying for years. It's not happening. I walked out of that gym. You literally couldn't tell me anything. Like I was freaking Wonder Woman, like ruled the world. It didn't matter. And it's like, yes, all of those things that you talked about of the confidence. So I know we started this conversation with bone density and all of that is still relevant. But if we haven't sold you on the idea of like lifting in a intentional way, we haven't done our jobs. But yeah, it, I mean, absolutely, it's changed my life. And as a person who's 5'1", like I need all of the confidence I can get to feel comfortable and safe and also like strong, literally and metaphorically in my body. And like strength training has absolutely done that for me.
Yeah. And in particular, I mean, if we go back to the population, like people who are the most concerned about their bone density, it's typically women. And it's typically women over the age of 60 who are probably not feeling very physically confident, often feeling not feeling very physically confident, maybe never did anything like strength training, are feeling vulnerable to be taken advantage of, whether it's like some sort of email or it's somebody showing up at the door, you know, it just all of those things that I really want the older women that I work with to get back, you know, to feel better in their body. And I see it. I see it all the time in the clinic. You know, where it doesn't have to be, you know, we think of lifting heavy, like it's like big dudes like straining and like eyeballs bulging out and like veins popping out on their forehead. And it really does not have to look like that.
No. And also too, it's like, if you're not training to be a bodybuilder competitor, like that's not how
it's not going to happen.
No.
Yeah. And even when some women still say things like, oh, I don't want to be bulky. I'm like, my friend, you would have to be doing this every single day, maybe multiple times a day. You would also have to be doing that weird thing where they like wake up in the middle of the night and eat chicken and then go back to sleep. You're like, you have to be pounding so much protein and so many calories for that to happen. yeah, it's just not going to happen. So don't worry about it. Just lift weights.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we really don't understand how the amount of effort that goes into becoming a bodybuilder.
Yes. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So lift weights, and it's never too late. And the DEXA scan is for funsies, but don't take it too seriously.
It's, you know, it's giving you a measure. But yeah. I think previously we have sort of thought of like, oh, I get this score and it tells me that I have osteoporosis, that the, you know, the having of osteoporosis is the only important piece of information. But we want to look at it more in the context of the entire person. Like, are you physically quite fit? And maybe you just, your activity has been more sort of cardio based. Maybe you like to ride a bicycle and you've just been doing that for years, but now you actually, you need to lift some weights to like help your bones, right? Or maybe you have been more sedentary and actually we need to start getting you stronger, right? Do you have a history of certain diseases in your family? Are you at risk for this thing or that thing? Like all of those things play into the whole story of the, you know, the osteoporosis diagnosis. But I mean, the thing to me that that is just so valuable to know, and that's why I like banged on about it for the past, you know, 30 minutes, is that you can just start lifting heavy weights and it's going to help. So you don't have to panic. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to start taking medication that seems a bit iffy or, you know, like it might not be that great to be on for the rest of your life. You can do it if you want to. And you can also start lifting weights. I'll send you a link. There was an amazing trial done in Australia called the Liftmore trial, where they took a bunch of women who were diagnosed with osteoporosis or osteopenia, older women, women over the age of 60, I believe. So they're all postmenopausal, which is also part of it because your hormones play a big role in why you lose bone density. And they had these women start like lifting barbells and doing drop landings, like, you know, jumping from a higher thing onto a lower thing. And they improved their bone density, you know? So there's all kinds of research about it. There's also, you can go on YouTube and watch videos of these women and it's so cool. It's like if you saw your grandma, you know, in her cute little pastel outfit or whatever, just like deadlifting 90 pounds. So you're like, you are a beast. It's amazing.
I love that. Yeah. We will link to all of that in the show notes over at aewellness.com/podcast. There's so much more to this conversation. And definitely for those of you listening, if you have more questions about strength training, about bone density, like let us know. Sarah, where can people find you?
You can find me at Sarah Court DPT on Instagram, which is pretty much the only social media place that I am. And I also have a website, sarahcourtdpt.com.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, definitely let us know what you want us to talk about more, what you have questions, because I always have questions for Sarah. And we'll have her come back in her pod closet and then tell us everything. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it. And I know too, yeah, this conversation isn't done. So I'm excited to see what other questions people have so we can chat some more. So thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, of course, we want to hear your biggest takeaways from today's episode. I don't know about you, but now every time I pick up any of my barbell, well, I don't have barbells, but any of my dumbbells, it's with a different purpose, right? I'm like, yes, even if I'm only doing a little, even if I feel like I'm not doing enough, at least I know today I'm building some stronger bones. Now, I will link to all the references and resources that she mentioned, including that heel drop exercise, which actually my mom just mentioned the other day. She's like, look what I just saw in AARP. And there was that heel drop exercise. So check that out. You can find all things podcast related at aewellness.com/podcast. But again, Sarah and I would love to hear what you thought of today's episode. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Hala Famala. You can find me on TikTok. I'm at AE Wellness. You can leave your questions about bone density, osteoporosis, bone strength on the Body Nerd hotline at 818-396-6501. And again, show notes, fun links, free downloads, all things podcast related can be found at aewellness.com/podcast. And I know it seems small and kind of insignificant, but I can promise you it's not. So thank you for subscribing and reviewing and sharing today's episode with anybody who is concerned about their bone density and their bone strength. So here's to asking better questions, moving more, building stronger bones, and getting nerdy. Thank you for helping me spread the word that your body is super cool and you, my friend, can change the unchangeable. I'll talk to you next week. Pain stops you in your tracks, and bodywork is one of the fastest and most effective ways to deal with it. I've put together a free PDF with the 6 places you need to roll right now for quick relief. Plus, the reason why what you've tried so far has only given you a temporary fix. So whether it's back pain, plantar fasciitis, neck tension, shoulder pain, or tight hips, I've got you covered. And when you download it now, I'll also send you some video demos to get you started even faster. Head on over to aewellness.com/bodywork, that's BODYWORK, to get started today.